Hello, and welcome. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to use this week's message to teach and inspire you while you listen.
Preaching theme for this year is You Better Get Ready. And I want to bring a message of urgency, a personal message from the very throne of God. You know, God loves us and He is preparing you and me for a time when our loyalty will be tested. And then it will be seen, will we remain faithful, particularly to the Bible's seventh day Sabbath? Let's read again how this test will look like. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 13. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. And the word of God reads, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a what? A mark in their what? Or in their foreheads." Verse 17, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." This is talking about a test of loyalty. That seems to be impossible here in the United States, that you won't be able to buy and sell here when everything is driven by money and more money and more money. But while this is an open book test, I always like open book tests. This test is an open book test, meaning that God has provided the resources so that you and I might be victorious. But we must be careful, since this is an open book test, since we can go to the back of the book and see who wins, we must be careful not to minimize this test or think that this test is arbitrary. You see, in the beginning, man failed the test of loyalty. Perhaps felt that this test was arbitrary. I mean, after all, it was only a tree. How is God going to make a big deal about eating from some tree? It's only a tree. And so could we, in these last days, think that it's only a day? I mean, God is not going to make a big deal about a day. It's only a day. You know, I used to say it doesn't really matter what day you worship on. You know, any day. Until I found out that God has privilege. God has prerogative and has already slated a day for us. And so Bible prophecy is clear that one of the issues in these last days that we're living in right now surrounds worship, and particularly worship of a day. And so we better get ready. And we have been blessed by these Sabbath sermons. Amen. Literally, we are receiving word from all around the world, emails about people are reflecting and thinking and communicating and sharing this issue about the truth of the Bible seventh day Sabbath. Now we know that Leviticus chapter 23:32 tells us that the Bible Sabbath begins Friday sunset and ends Saturday sunset. And it's interesting, every believer, and this is what got me, because you know I used to worship on Sunday, amen, praise the Lord. I say that because if it wasn't for Sunday, I would have never known about Saturday. All right? And so I thought the day of worship was Sunday. So I'm there, you know. I remember When I was going to church on Sunday and I didn't see people going to church on Sunday, folk had the nerve to cut their grass on Sunday. I said, Lord, pray. I pray for those people. What's wrong with them? Don't they know they should be in church on Sunday? But we know that, and what got me, what drew my attention, that how is it that every believer in the Bible worshiped on the Bible Sabbath? I mean, Moses and Abraham and the minor prophets and Esther and Ruth, and then in the New Testament, everybody who loved Jesus worshiped on the Bible Sabbath. That was hard for me to try to work around, because see, I thought I had an answer. I used to like witnessing to anybody. You know, I told the Jehovah Witness, if you could prove it in the Bible, I'd be a Jehovah Witness. I wasn't afraid of the Bible. I'm a student of the Word. And I want to follow truth. If it's the truth, I want truth. Told a Catholic, I'll be a Catholic if you just show me in the Word. But when I was reading and found that everybody who said they loved the Lord worshipped on this Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, it caused me to think, because you know I met my wife and my wife's family, I thought they were a little strange, because I did. I thought that they were a little mixed up, but I said, okay, they're good people. They go to church on Sabbath, that's all right. God'll forgive them, you know. They're not doing anything wrong to hurt anybody. I said, okay, you go to church on Sabbath, just leave me alone, okay? I remember one time we were at camp meeting. You know, I had injured my knee playing basketball, and I had some time off, and my wife's dad, who's deceased now, said, why don't you come to camp meeting? I said, I don't want to be around Adventists. And so I said, all right, and I got my book, Kingdom of the Cults, right? Because I thought Adventists were strange. And I got my book, Kingdom of the Cult, just in case I had gotten into some discussion, I would have I got an answer. Boy, I'm glad I didn't use that book. I would have been wore out. And so one Saturday, I got up, as my custom. I turned on the TV. She cut it off. I turned on the TV. She cut it off. I turned on the TV. She cut it off. She said, it's Sabbath. I said, so I'll keep it down low. See, not understanding, but when you go to the Word of God, you know, because Sunday is also about tradition, right? And I just saw that everybody worshiped on this Bible Sabbath. And then when I read Genesis chapter 1, you know, in the beginning, and if you read verse 5 and verse 8 and Genesis 1 verse 13 and then again in verse 19 and then again in verse 23 and again in verse 31, it talks about the dark part of the day begins first. So the way God counts a day is from evening to evening, and you know, it was about the 11th century that it got turned around officially, but that's the way God counted time. And then we saw that in the fourth commandment, in the tenth commandment, we have the fourth commandment in the heart of God's law. And every believer supposedly believes in the ten commandments. I'm talking about things that how I arrived at this, you know. And then I read Mark 2:27 where it says that Sabbath was made. Sabbath, the Bible Sabbath, was made for man. That was interesting. Was already made. God had already got a design for you and me to rest. Already. And so I figured, because see, I thought that somehow the Sabbath had been changed. But when I read, Jesus would not change the Sabbath. And then I read about the apostles and particularly studying the book of Acts, and you find about, if you do the math, they met 84 times on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, this was after the resurrection, and so I began to think that Jesus wouldn't change the Sabbath to Sunday, and the apostles could not change Sabbath to Sunday. So what's going on? And then it is becoming clear that the Sabbath plays a key role in last day events. The Sabbath is a symbol of the seal of God's authority as our Creator and Redeemer. It has been a special sign for God's people in the beginning of time and will continue to be a special sign for God's people at the end. Oh, then I read Exodus 31, 12 and 13. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a what? Sign, a sign. Signs are helpful, right? They give you direction. Signs are helpful. They can give you guidance. A sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am your Lord and I sanctify you. You know, they say if everybody kept the Bible Sabbath, there would never be an atheist. There would never be an agnostic. Because every time the Sabbath rolled around, we would say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Now, we could argue how much we like the Lord, or we can argue if God is being fair, but we will never say there is no God. Or I'm not sure if He exists. But we have found, through history, who changed the day. And it's from their own words. And while there are many, I just want to read from the Catholic record, September 1, 1923, and this is their own words. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church, mercy, the church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. They say that since we have had the power to change the day from Sabbath to Sunday, it proves that we are the universal church. That's what Catholic means, universal. And so, Sunday, as I said, Sunday wasn't important to me. Because it was the day that I met the Lord, the day my family woke me up to go to church. And it's interesting, I never studied about which day is a day of worship. I mean, that never happened. I mean, does anybody know what I'm talking about? You never studied what day is the day. You knew the day. Because your great-great-grandmother went to church on that day, and your great-great went to church on that day, and then your great went to church on that day, and everybody in your family went to... I mean, come on. It's so easy. Everybody can't be wrong. Not Billy. Not Billy Graham. He can't be wrong. He can't be. It has to be the day. Look at all those mega churches. I mean, they have to be right. All those people, and it's got three services and 80,000 people and what Jake's church come on a weekend, and in Chicago 20,000 come. That they have to be right after all, you know. But Jesus told us that we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth, with our mind, with this stuff between our ears. He requires us to worship Him with. He just don't want us to run around crazy. I remember I did a lot of witnessing, and I was at a Pentecostal church, you know, and the bishop came, and everybody got excited that the bishop was coming. And so I was like the fourth in line, and so the first person shook the bishop's hand, and she started speaking in tongues and falling on the floor. Then the second person shook the bishop's hand. I kid you not. Spoken, I don't know what they were saying, but they fell on the floor. And the third one, and now all the time I'm thinking, uh-oh, what am I going to do? And I shook his hand just as calm, and everybody looked at me, you know, because I didn't fall on the floor or say anything. Because see, my mind wouldn't let me just to go off on emotion for no reason. You know, sometimes we get influenced by the people we're around. And God wants us to worship Him in truth. With our intellect. Our ability to discern and
and reason. Oh, this sounds good and it looks good, but this ain't right, y'all.
And that's hard to do sometimes, right? Especially when it's family. Hello. And so, well, did I tell you my title? My title is Sabbath, Test of Loyalty. Sabbath, Test of Loyalty. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for hearing us. You always hear us. And Father, we want to be loyal to you. Not when it's easy to be loyal, but we want to be loyal in the hard places. When it causes something from us, we want to be loyal. For when a roll is called up yonder, we want to be there. And so we want to be loyal. But this is the time, right now, in Christ's name. Amen. I already preached myself happy. You know, growing up, one thing I noticed that on Sundays, the stores would close. They would close. I mean, Saturday, things would be bustling. And I'm talking about the time when downtown, remember downtown? That's where everything was. Malls were just coming out, right? But really, if you wanted to shop, if you really wanted to get something, you would go downtown. Remember that song, Downtown? I hated that song. No, I'm serious. Every Monday, WICC, Channel 60, at 6:30, like clockwork, Downtown. I hated that song. I'm serious. Hated it, Downtown. But see, that was the place. Downtown. But even Downtown was closed up for Sunday. And I asked my dad, you know, why is it? What's going on? Why churches close? Why are stores and businesses closing and shut up? And his word to me was, well, that's because of the blue laws, Junior. They call me Junior, you know. And I went to Webster's New World College Dictionary. Remember Elder Griffith said, just go to the dictionary? I went to the dictionary. And the third edition, the second notice here says, definition for blue law, it says, a law prohibiting dancing, shows, sports, businesses, etc. On what day? Not Monday, not Friday, not Wednesday, but on Sunday. And see, blue laws were intended to enforce moral standards, particularly allowing people to rest so that they can worship on Sunday. And I want to thank Elder Gosine. He gave me a document that kind of describes what states in the United States have blue laws. And it's interesting that over 30 states have no blue laws, or they appealed them, and they're not, they don't have them, and 19 states do. Like, for example, Alabama has a blue law, you know, about having business on the Sunday. Arkansas has a blue law. Colorado, Connecticut, the state I'm from, Kentucky has a blue law, blue laws. Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Missouri, New Hampshire, New York. Feel like at the elections calling up for the delegates, right? North Dakota, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Virginia. You know, it's interesting that D.C., in Maryland, at least right now, don't have blue laws. Washington, the state Washington, and West Virginia all have blue laws. Now, most states have appealed these laws or declared them unconstitutional, or simply they're on the books but don't enforce them. except for the prohibition of alcohol in mostly all the states. But the whole point that this issue of our country recognizing a day indirectly of worship, we're already hardwired for it. And see, this really helps us to understand when Jesus talking about that God is spirit and we must worship him and spirit. And in truth, God expects you and I to worship him with passion, but also with our intellect. And I wonder, has anyone ever had to deal with your job not getting a job because of the Sabbath? I know I have. You know, maybe most pastors don't, but I wasn't always a full-time pastor. I worked for a defense contractor making major radar, and that text is true where it says, 6 days shall thy work and do all thy labor. Well, when I worked, you know, I worked a 40-hour week, but that 6 day, that Saturday, was mandatory. You could lose your job if you didn't work on Saturday. I mean, so Saturday was automatic. And so, you know, as I told you, I met these strange people, my wife's family, and they're worshiping on the Sabbath, and then God is showing me things that, wait a minute, they're not so strange. Maybe I'm the strange one. Did I fix it? Maybe I'm the strange one. And so I remember just studying about the Sabbath. I didn't want a book. I didn't want any book. All I wanted was a concordance and the Bible. And I just went over every verse about the seventh day and then looked up at the first day. And I was just shocked. And then I would call my preacher's friends and help. I said, come on, you got to help me. I mean, I can't be wrong about this. I mean, Sunday is God's day. I love worshiping on Sunday. I don't want to change. Help me to find the truth. And they would tell me what I already studied and found to be false. And so, you know, I accepted the Bible Sabbath. But now I got another problem. Work. Work. And let me tell you, they didn't play. They expected you to work on Saturday. In fact, I always worked on Saturday. So, you know, I didn't know what to do. And, you know, when you have children, and when you got a house, and God is calling you to a truth, and yet you see your responsibilities, but yet God is calling to you to a truth, but yet you see your responsibilities, but yet God is calling you. See, whenever you're in a relationship with God, He will always stretch you. And if you aren't being stretched, maybe you aren't in a relationship. Because how can we be in relationship with the infinite one and we are finite and not be stretched? And so I'm being stretched. And I said, well, Gene, you know, might get fired because, you know, they don't play. You know, she had more faith than I did. She said, well, God will provide. Yeah, right. I mean, tell the truth. You ever say that? Huh? Come on now. Shame the devil and tell the truth. Yeah, right. God's going to provide. I'll be broke and unemployed again. I don't want to be unemployed again. God, it ain't fun waiting in the unemployment line. You know, I did that when they had lines in unemployment. You know, it wasn't no online stuff. You waited in line, not online, in line. You stood in line. So God, I don't want to go there, please. And I'm trying to do everything that I can not to have this talk with this boss. Trying everything. But you know how the Spirit won't let you rest? Thank God for the Spirit not letting you rest. Thank God for the Spirit not letting you rest. He will fight you. So if you're going to go to hell, he say, well, I had a good fight with that one. Yeah, they're going, but I fought for them. Amen. With tears too, though. And so I said, all right. And we prayed. And I could remember that my boss, he was white, bald head. I didn't like that guy either. I'm just telling you the truth, you know. And I said, Lord, help me, please. You know, you think about so much to say, and I just, you know, and it, you know, it was a spirit. It just came out. You know, it just came out. It just came out. I said, you know, I will no longer be working on Saturday, for it is now my day of worship. And it's just like, they just shut up. I mean, it's like I wanted to say more, but I couldn't. It was like the Holy Spirit, be quiet. Don't mess it up. And I'm serious, I'm trying to say more, you know, and giving all these examples like of how I had faithful work and habits, and I would work 55, 60, 65 hours a week, easy. So I was going to bring all that up, and it was like, Toby, be quiet, I got this. And to my shock and amazement, this guy smiled and said, okay. No, serious. And I'm standing there waiting to argue with him. I'm ready to fight. But I didn't even have to fight. Didn't somebody say the Lord will fight your battles? I mean, somewhere in there. Thank you. Thank you, God. So I'm speaking to somebody. You're thinking you're having a battle. Maybe you don't have to have a battle. But stand for the truth. And if you have to have a battle, let Jesus stand with you. Don't compromise. Because see, we need to be ready. Because prophecy warns us that time is quickly approaching, that our historic freedoms of worship will be challenged. Think about it. In the land of the free, in the home of the brave, our worship will be challenged. And I submit to you, the hard wiring is already in the States, blue laws. And as I read to you, some states don't have them, others don't enforce them, but they're already there. And part of the ecumenical movement is bringing us closer to this uniting of church and state. And if you pay any attention, you know how fast legislation can be passed. On one hand, they are slow as turtles. But on the other hand, when there's a crisis or something they want, they'll do it just like that, overnight. You watch C-SPAN, there's nothing happening on a certain bill, you wake up in the morning and it's all passed. Isn't that what happened in 9/11? How long did it take for them to do the Patriot Act? And some of the legislators admit they didn't even read it, or read all of it, they just signed it. Just like that. These laws can come into effect. And then our loyalty will be tested. Let's read Revelations 13:6. And perhaps if you're listening and hearing this for the first time, this is shocking. It was shocking to me. It was shocking to me to hear this and read this. Revelation 13, verse 16. Reads, and he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Legislations will be passed in America and all over this world, and folk will receive a mark. And let's look at verse 17. And that no man what? Save he that had the mark or in the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, where is the mark? In his forehead. You know, forehead represents the mind. You know, God says, come, let us reason together. Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God, the Bible says, don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They're trying to get to our minds, wear us down. And hand represents our open ability to live and to do and to serve. Think about it. No cash or credit. And that seems impossible in this materialistic world. But 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that Satan, small g, is the god of this world. And there's nothing more that the enemy covets more than worship. Worship. Remember Isaiah 14:13? In 14, we read the five I wills of the enemy. This is his plan. This is his master plan. This is his strategy. Isaiah 14,
Verse 13, he says, for thou hast said in thine heart, what? I will ascend into heaven. Yes, read it with me. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will... Mercy, he's after God's job. He's after being CEO of the universe. I will. I will. That's what he wants. Worship. 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 And you read the next verse, verse 16. Jesus says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the size of the pit. So he will be defeated. But you and I don't have to be. See, false worship always leads to destruction. Satan has no hope, and God is trying to prepare us to get ready so you and I don't be deceived. You know, when we look at these big churches, got 10,000 and 15,000 and 20,000, do you feel a little bit jealous every now and then? I mean, just under, you know, nobody knows this. It's between us. Fellowship Hall, nobody will know. Don't you feel like, wow, why can't I go to one of them big churches? And you know what I mean? Okay, that's the wrong one, but you know, whatever it is. You know? But this speaks that legislation worldwide will enforce worship where we won't be able to traffic our merchandise. And we've seen our government in work, how they can freeze assets. If they think you or your group are terrorists, they will freeze you just like that. So we know it's all hardwired. And now with the internet, countries can talk just like that. So it's just about all hardwired. I mean, what if you saw somebody taking a picture of you walking in this church? Would you come next week? You know, what are you taking picture for? Oh, nothing. We're just doing a survey for the government. Oh, no, don't worry about it. And what if they knew your name? And what if they knew your address? Oh, they do, huh? I mean, are you still coming out to church? See, the time is coming when our loyalty will be tested. And what is this mark that John the Revelator clearly warns us to avoid through the Spirit? And I repeat that this mark is all about false worship. This mark of the beast is not a national identity card. It's about worship. It's not about a computer chip. It's about false worship. Let's turn to Revelation 14:9. Revelation 14:9. It's all about false worship. It says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. See, again, that mark of the beast has to do with false worship. It may be sincere, but it's sincerely wrong. In fact, if you read Revelation 13, the theme is saturated with false worship. Revelation 13:4. That's right, we're just moving around Revelation, just right next door. Revelation chapter 13:4 says, and they, who are they? The inhabitants of the earth. Worship who? Who's the dragon? See, the enemy, he wants worship. The dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. See, they didn't worship Jesus, they worshiped the beast. Then we go to verse 8 of Revelation 13. And it says, and what? How many? All that dwell upon the earth shall what? That's amazing. Everybody? Everyone? See, in the end, two groups. First group, everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who will worship the dragon and the beast, they have trouble. But the second group are those who remain faithful. Those who worship God in spirit and in truth. They are the ones who are victorious and stand the test of time. But also, we understand this false worship comes with some consequences. And if you read, go
going back to the ninth verse of Revelation 14. Revelation 14:9 shares the consequences of this worshiping on the wrong day. It says, "And the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice." Whenever you read the word "saying with a loud voice," it's like that the Republican the Republican candidate John McCain. You know how he says this is straight talk? Well, whenever you read "saying with a loud voice," that's God saying this is straight talk. This is the truth and the whole truth. Saying with a loud voice, God is trying to get my attention and your attention, that if any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in his forehead, what does verse 10 say? Drink, which is poured out without mixture, mercy, into the cup of his indignation, with what? Fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence mercy. So again, this is more than just about a day. This is about loyalty. That who are we going to serve as our Lord? So now let's see how the Sabbath becomes a test of loyalty. Revelation 14:7. Let's read it. "Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of water." See, this is true worship, contrast to false worship. Now, what commandment does Revelation 14:7 sound very closely to? I hear it. Doesn't it sound like the fourth commandment? Exodus 20:11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." See, in Revelation 14:7, when the angel from heaven commands God's end time people to worship God, he practically quotes the fourth commandment. See, God's people, you know, I talk to people, they say that they're in a word church. You know, they're in a word church. I said, well, you got to keep God's word. And God's word says that the seventh day is the Sabbath. So what about that? But in the end, God's last day people are people of the word. Remember, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word." And Revelation 14:12 says, this calls for patience. Oh, we have to have patience. I don't know what you're going through, but you have to have patience. Patience in the Lord and remain faithful to Him. You see, in the end, disobedience always leads to trouble. We think we're getting away, but it always leads to trouble. And so false worship is said to be the mark of the beast, but the seal of God is the seal of His Holy Spirit and remaining faithful to God's seventh day Sabbath. And so in the end, God's saying the issue is worship. Worshiping Him in the right way on the right day. What do you say? God's saying that a religious political power has changed the Sabbath. God is saying that this is more than the matter of days. It's a matter of God's authority and our loyalty and faithfulness. And Christ is pulling at our heart. He's knocking at the door and saying for us to put aside everything that is not truth. Because, see, everything not of God will fall in the end. And so each of us, soon and very soon, will have to make that decision for Christ. Each of us will have to continue to make that decision each and every day to be loyal to God. And God is saying to you and to me, with a loud voice, make a decision to follow the Lamb. And I thank God so many people who have never heard this truth about the Bible, seventh-day Sabbath, are turning to truth. And so you and I need to understand this. Not a single person has received the mark of the beast yet. So you and I should not walk out this door, and if we know someone who's worshiping on Sunday, say, "You have the mark of the beast." That's wrong. That's not the Spirit of God. That's the wrong time. It's not right. See, the mark is not given until those legislations become enacted. But until then, we are praying and right, we're witnessing them. We have an excited program right now. CPC is embarked that we're going to win 80 souls for Jesus. 80. I mean, I'm not talking about people who already know God. I'm talking about folk whose church are the bars and whose church are the malls. I mean, 80 souls of folk who don't know Jesus. And you're going to help us do it, praise God. Oh, it's going to be exciting. Because people need to understand that the test will come. And we want to give them the answers too. Amen? I mean, we have the answers. We can't keep these answers to ourselves. It's not right. We have to pass on the answers. So that when the time is come for the test of loyalty, we can stand. We can stand faithful. As when the time Daniel had his test of loyalty. Remember the decree went out? And Daniel heard the decree, and the Bible says that Daniel went home, went upstairs and opened his window and worshiped God anyway, praise God. You can be faithful with your test of loyalty. Bible talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said that our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we're going to stand and pass our test of loyalty. Esther had a test of loyalty. And you know what girlfriend said? Girlfriend said, if I perish, I perish. Esther was victorious in her faith of loyalty. Job had his loyalty tested. Lost his family. Lost his money. And one day Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job passed the test of loyalty. And then there is he who stands outside time, came within time, born of a virgin. I'm talking about Jesus, who passed the test of loyalty. He lived a sinless life. He lived a loving life. But he who knew no sin became sin. Became everything that God hates. Became everything that God despises for you and you. So that you and I might become the righteousness of God. And then one day, they captured him. Captured my Lord. I'm talking about the test of loyalty. And they spit in his face. They blindfolded him. And if you've ever been slapped blindfolded, there's a certain amount of pain in that. Because see, he was standing the test of loyalty. And he told those soldiers, I can call down a legion of angels right now. But thanks be to God he didn't, because you see, he was passing the test of loyalty. And then he got up on the cross. And someone took a spear and drove it through his side. My Lord, he stood on the cross because he was standing the test of loyalty. And then he died. But thanks be to God, he rose again. And we serve a risen Savior, so that when the time of trouble comes, or whatever trouble you're facing right now, you and I can stand the test of loyalty. And so Jesus asks a question as he looks around the world, as he whispers in every heart. He asks, will the Son of Man find faith on earth? I don't know about you, but I want to be in that number. I want to pass every test. I don't want a C, I don't want a D, I want an A. What about you? You can do it. You can pass your test of loyalty.
You just stand when all your courage seems to fail. Stand. your life from day to day. Trust God to make a way, and then walk the way. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us to resist temptation. So be not weary in doing well, only time will tell of all the works He's begun in you. Will help to see through. Know His word is true. Everything He's promised, my God will do. So having done all, stand. You just stand. My God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us love and power and all the courage to resist the temptation.
Jesus poses the question to each of us. Says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Will He find people ready to pass the test of loyalty? You know, sometimes you and I can't pick our fights. Whatever fight we're in, we can be faithful and loyal to Him. What do you say? And so if it's your desire to pass this open book test, show the Lord that you will be faithful and be pass this test of loyalty. I'm asking you, as what was just sung, stand with me. Stand for the Lord. Stand with Jesus. And then I make an appeal that if you are outside the church, if you're in the fellowship hall sitting and have listened and something has moved in your heart and mind in one of the overflow rooms, and you feel the call of the Lord asking you to take a stand, you cannot afford to put it off no longer. Time is short. Decisions are being made. And you need to come right now. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you need to come and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Make He who created you. Second appeal, if you would like to study more about the seventh day Bible Sabbath, which will be a pivotal point in these last days of Earth's history, ask you to come forward for study. Oh, it was the study of God's Word that changed my mind. You know, I already knew the Lord. I already loved the Lord. Felt I knew the Word of God. But when I got into His Word and found these rich truths. Oh, I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, man, woman, boy or girl, if there's a struggle that you're having and you need the power of God in your life, you need to come right now. While the Spirit of God, the former and the latter reign, just come right now. Just come on right now. Just step out from the aisle. Just come on right now. While the Spirit is moving in your heart, just come on for the Lord. Jesus stood on the cross. He stayed on the cross so that you can stand here right now and be loyal to Him. Just a few more moments, church. Just keep praying for me. Just keep praying. Just keep praying for a minute. Somebody needs to come. Somebody needs to say, Jesus, I love you. The Lord is always stretching you and me. And all He needs us is to respond to that stretch. And He won't break you. He'll strengthen you. Oh, somebody needs to come to Jesus right now. If you want to reinstate your membership, the Lord, if you feel like the Lord is asking you to make a move and perhaps see how CPC serves the Lord, you need to come. Just a few more moments. We are living in historic times. Decisions are being made each day, each moment. And you need to make sure that you know the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you. I know you're out there. Lord, I thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated, but as we're seated, the call is still going forth, still going out. Somebody needs to come to the Lord. I can feel you. You need to come to the Lord. You need to come to the Lord right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In your name, we praise you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, that you are always with us and you will always be with us. We can always depend on you. And so may we love one another so that we can be stronger together in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and check back next week for another message. Thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.